What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Mike Dolce Show, episode number 6. Boom! All right, guys, how you doing today? We're going to jump right in to a topic that I got a little pissed off earlier today. I did the MMA Junkie radio show with Gorgeous George and the Goes down at the Mandalay Bay Sportsbook. And I love being a guest on the show. It's an amazing, amazing radio show. Also, it's on television. I forget the channel's Cablevision. I think Live Now. Do you remember the name of that? The other station? Pro Live Now. I apologize, but check out MMA Junkie, MMAJunkieRadio.com, and you'll find out more about it. But anyway, so I'm on the show, and we do this thing called Dear Dolce, and I get on and I answer questions for the listeners on the show. One great guy called, smart guy. And he gave great compliments and asked some diet questions. And he said at the end, he said, hey, congratulations on Vitor Belfort winning his fight. But I'm going to, you know, make another comment about Vitor being on the TRT program, which was suspected by this gentleman. Anyway, I said, whoa, let's slow down here. Explain to me what this TRT program is. In essence, he was devaluing Vitor's amazing accomplishments of performance in performance, accusing Vitor of being on TRT, which is the testosterone replacement therapy program, which is legal through multiple commissions, national commissions, international commissions, and it's a medical procedure. It's a medical protocol that is approved through specific commissions. So this gentleman, he made the accusation that Vitor's success was a result of this TRT program. So I asked the gentleman to please explain what the TRT program is. And he basically had a very general, very Google interpretation of what the TRT program is, more of a message board, a forum interpretation of TRT program. But then he went on to say something to the effect of it not being fair that Vitor can compete with his testosterone levels 6 times that of the average human. And that right there shows you just how grossly uneducated the public is on what TRT is. So let me take some time to break it down and explain it for you. Now, TRT, testosterone replacement therapy, that is legal. It is a medical issue. So that's why TRT came up, because athletes were going to the doctor, the doctors were testing the athlete's blood, and the doctor was finding, or the blood was showing, that the athlete was unhealthily low. He was registering unhealthily low of a vital human hormone. Testosterone, especially in men, but it's in all, testosterone is in all humans, men and women. So these gentlemen, these athletes, these subjects, these patients, they were feeling like crap. Their life was in the toilet. They had issues of depression, of low energy, of reduced muscle mass. All these issues. I mean, there's a myriad. There's scores of issues on the reduction in testosterone, and just how unhealthy it is. And it's linked to a reduced testosterone production is linked to early death and an array of medical disorders. Just like anything else, if you're lacking in a certain area, if you're deficient in a certain area, problems occur as a result of your deficiency. I liken TRT to diabetics using insulin. Insulin is the most powerful, the most anabolic hormone in the human body. Insulin, not testosterone, not growth hormone, it is insulin. Insulin is responsible for all nutrient transport. Insulin is what actually takes the nutrients, puts it into the muscles so the muscles can rebuild. Without insulin, your muscles cannot absorb the nutrition that you're putting in. There is no growth. You immediately become catabolic. Your muscle wastes away. In the state of insulin, properly administered insulin or properly secreted naturally, the insulin, your body is extremely anabolic. You can grow and build and constantly regenerate your tissue because of insulin, not because of testosterone. So insulin is much more powerful than testosterone. Why is not insulin illegal? Why is not insulin a PED? So sure, the average person can take, the average lawyer can take, go on TRT and be fine. It's not going to affect his court cases, let's say. So there's no commission that's regulating PED use of an attorney. So the attorney can take TRT. The attorney can also take insulin because It's healthy because it's doctor recommended, because they have a metabolic need, because they have a deficiency that modern medicine is trying to meet that need for. And it becomes a personal decision whether or not they will apply this exogenous material, this additional, this outside source. Will they use this outside source to supplement their own deficiency? So for the average person, it's okay. For the professional athlete, some professional athletes, it is not okay, but it's a very selective list. And I ask, why is testosterone the villain when insulin is much more potent and powerful? Well, most people will say, Dolce, what are you, crazy? Of course, people need to take insulin. If they have diabetes, they need to take insulin or they'll die. Exactly. People that are deficient in testosterone have a whole slew of very real health and physical issues if they are deficient in that other hormone. So what's the difference? They're both hormones. They're both essential. If there's a deficiency, why can't the deficiency be brought up to what is normal? Now, the guys in the TRT program, guys, and I don't know if women are in it, I don't pay attention to that too much, but the people in the TRT program, they have a specific issue. They have a specific need. That's why they're in there, they're doing it, and they're monitored by a doctor. They're monitored by the athletic commission in which they compete. There is so much more oversight into an athlete that's in the TRT program than any other athlete that might be popping Xanax and Ambien and the anti-Celebrex, the anti-inflammatory, which is much more of a PED than a lot of other drugs out there that you might associate with cheating. There's a whole list of drugs that are legal, that are performance enhancing, and are extremely dangerous. They cause problems, but they're legal. Now, the TRT program and the guys in the TRT program, they take such a small amount. They take only enough to get them under the higher level of normal. They cannot exceed the level of normal. They cannot go past the level of normal. There are very severe restrictions on this, and these guys have to produce blood tests every 4 weeks or 8 weeks, depending on the commission, in the whole lead up to the fight. They're constantly being tested. They're constantly being tested to make sure that their testosterone levels are not exceeding what is normal for the average person, the average man. There's other athletes, maybe in the same sport, maybe the guy across the cage or across the ring or across the field or across the court, that are taking drugs, other performance-enhancing drugs that they're not disclosing to the athletic commissions. They're not going and being monitored by medical doctors to monitor their health and pull blood work and make sure that they're doing everything in their best interest to be healthy and the highest quality of safe and sanitary and quality ingredients and nutrients. So the guys in the TRT program, they're getting villainized, which is bullshit. I mean, these guys, it's really difficult on them for the public scrutiny. They have a medical issue. They have a severe medical issue that needs to be treated through modern medicine. Nobody refutes that. Nobody disputes that. But because of guys in the TRT program, people are acting like he's a Superman, when in fact he's less than a Superman. He's a normal man. Guys in TRT, they are normal. They are kept within the range of normal. They are kept within the range of normal as medical science deems and as athletic commission, which is the law, which is the legal side, as they deem. So there's two separate commissions with two separate agendas that are agreeing what should be allowed, what should be fair, what should be reasonable, what should be legal. And that's what these athletes are complying to, and they're being villainized because they're doing it. Now, a lot of the athletes in the TRT program, they can't take much more than maybe 50 or 80 milligrams of testosterone per week. Anybody that knows anything about performance-enhancing drugs knows that is such a minuscule amount. The average kid in your Gold's Gym is easily taking 200 milligrams of testosterone a week, probably a little bit more. That's the average bodybuilding fitness entry level. Most bodybuilders, semi-serious bodybuilders, call it taking a gram a week, where they take 1,000 milligrams of testosterone per week. That's average. That's normal. That's a foundation in bodybuilding. In the TRT program, most of these guys, they can't take more than a single cc, and most guys take dramatically less, possibly 50 milligrams to 80 milligrams seems to be the average from what I've read and what I've heard and what I've seen. Anything more than that, you spill over and you exceed the legal limit of what is normal. So the guys in the TRT program are not taking excessive amounts. They're taking the base minimum to be normal. And I'm passionate about it. I talk about it because it's ridiculous for people to make these accusations without the proper information, without knowing what's going on, knowing the truth behind it. And I think it makes a little more sense now. And hopefully the insulin issue is something that gets you guys talking. I mean, why can an athlete take insulin, which is more anabolic, dramatically more anabolic, dramatically more effective, dramatically more powerful than testosterone? How is that? Well, I tell you, take a diabetic and don't let them have their insulin shot and see what happens. They'll pass out immediately. They take their insulin shot, they're right back again. That's a performance enhancer, everybody. That is a performance enhancer, right? He's not, well, maybe he shouldn't take his insulin shot fight day. Come on, what's wrong with that? It's enhancing his performance. His body does not produce this hormone to an adequate amount, and he needs to supplement it through an external use. That's insulin. That's a diabetic. Why is this the same issue villainized again for the guys that have to take testosterone to be normal? Now, anybody that exceeds normal should be suspended, should be banned, should be in a lot of trouble. That's bullshit. Anybody that exceeds it, anybody that uses it in the wrong way. But most of the guys in the TRT program are actually adding more trouble to their life. They're adding more scrutiny to do it the right way. These are the guys that should be revered because they stepped up and they said, yeah, I'm doing this. I'm being honest. I'm not hiding behind, you know, doors. I'm not Lance Armstrong where I'm telling the whole world, I'm pointing my finger in your chest and I'm saying, I'm clean and how dare you? Well, that's bullshit. These guys are saying, hey, I have a medical issue. I have a medical need. And I need, in order to compete, in order to feel normal and compete at my normal level, well, I need to take this medicine. Just like a diabetic has to take insulin. So what's the difference? And this, to me, and I have athletes that are in the TRT program, and I have more, quite a few more, much more athletes that are not in the TRT program. And I know athletes, thousands of athletes around the world. I live in gyms. I've grown up in gyms. I mean, I'm in the health and the fitness world. I know for a fact the average lawyer on the TRT program is taking a hell of a lot more than the average guy fighting, the average combat athlete, the average athlete that is allowed in this program. Those guys are taking more because they can go above the healthy normal average. Because the 50-year-old lawyers, well, they want to look freaking sexy. They want to have good, big, strong pecs and tight abs and all that shit. They're doing it more for the cosmetic reasons, and they do spill over excessively, where the athletes cannot do that because of the commission oversight. The other guys can, and it's okay, and it's legal, it's not a big issue, and a lot of, and I keep saying lawyers just because it's a prestigious profession, but I'm not saying lawyers do it, you know, I'm saying the average professional, a suit and tie guy, or not, or just a regular person, they can do this all they want, and it's not a big deal, but the athlete gets really kicked in the nuts for it, and I think it's ridiculous, and it's not fair. With Lance Armstrong, the guys like Lance Armstrong, they give a bad name to all athletes. Now, I'm not mad at Lance Armstrong for using drugs. I'm not mad at him for it because most of the other guys riding up those hills are using drugs also. Everybody knows extreme international cycling is a drug-induced sport. Everybody who knows, and I'm standing on that. That's basically true. And look at all the huge champions that fail over and over and over again. It's a common trend. You think of PED, you think of doping, you think of cycling. You don't think of golf, but I tell you what, a shitload of golfers are taking PEDs. They're taking performance-enhancing drugs or performance-enhancing supplements, performance-enhancing protocols. They're using things. They're using certain mind-altering, cognitive-enhancing drugs. They're using drugs that slow down their heart rate so they can focus and breathe just like a sniper would need to do. They're taking drugs that increase their clarity, increase their vision, increase their athletic output so they can, you know, golfing is hard. You're golfing 18 holes in the sunshine, you're carrying your bag or, you know, you're moving your body mass, you're swinging these big, you know, long drives. I mean, these guys, they're working hard. If you golf seriously at an elite level, it's hard work. So these guys are doing it also. They don't get any shit about it. Nobody cares about that. It's just the combat athletes because it's the punching and the kicking. And I tell you what, I've never seen a guy in the TRT program more dominant than a guy who's not in the program. He's not, you know, punching harder. He's not kicking harder. And people say, oh, that's counterintuitive. He's taking drugs. So of course he is. No, the drugs that he's taking make him normal. They do not exceed. So all those arguments that make it sound like these guys are supermen, they're not. They just become who they are again. That's all. It's like a diabetic that's taking his insulin shot to keep him balanced, to keep him regular, to keep him stable. It's the same thing. Now, you can morally discuss the issue. We can certainly talk about a moral issue, but you cannot talk about a legal issue. You cannot talk about an ethical issue. They're not breaking any laws. They're not breaking any ethics. This is what they need, and it's not fair to these guys. And a lot, I know for a fact, a lot of guys are hiding and don't want to enter TRT programs. They don't want to talk to their doctors. They don't want to talk to the commission. They don't want to talk to the media and the reporters about it because they become villainized. Now, guys that have diabetes or they have anemia, they have these other issues. Well, they can talk about their health issue all the time. And people say, oh, that's great. This guy became a world champion or a state champion or a local champion, and he, in spite of his diabetes, and he'll get a write-up in maybe Sports Illustrated or, you know, the Muscle and Fitness, and he becomes a hero for that, for overcoming this medical issue. But the testosterone issue was driven down so far for some reason because, well, does it sell? Is that what it is? I mean, is that how fucking ridiculous, pardon my language, it is? There's nothing else to write about except trying to tear people down. And you got dickheads like Victor Conti out there, who is a known cheat, who admitted to cheating, who people that know him said he's a cheat, who went to jail for cheating-related issues. He's a cheat. He helped guys, he created drugs to help guys pass drug tests while they were induced, while they were far in excess of what they would be normally, humanly. And he takes great pride in that. Now he also takes great pride in pointing his finger at guys that are doing the same thing that made his living, that paid his salary. So he's a guy that actually brings, you know, he's a black eye on the sport. He's a black eye on all sports, on every sport. He's a black eye when it comes to health and fitness and working with athletes specifically, because he is not a genuine individual, in my opinion. I heard him on the Joe Rogan show. Now, this guy, Victor Conti, he'll talk about drugs left, right, and the other way. But when Joe asked him, hey, well, what do you eat? How do you eat? What do you know about nutrition? Duh. Victor Conti went silent. He didn't know what he's talking about. He didn't have anything meaningful to say about nutrition. He doesn't know anything about nutrition. He doesn't eat well. Look at him. His physical state, he's extremely unhealthy. He has health disorders that he talked about on the Rogan show. He's not living a clean, healthy, sustainable, longevity-based lifestyle. How dare he position himself as a coach of athletes? Or as a representative of sport, because he's not. He's a representative of what not to be in sport, of who not to be aligned with in sport, of who not to talk to in sport. Dana White went out and not bashed Victor Conti, told the truth recently about what Victor Conti is. Dana White knows everybody in the game. He knows everybody in boxing, in MMA, in all elite sport. He is the president of the UFC. And he doesn't speak lightly. And when he mentions people's names, he means it. And he doesn't say it without proper information. And he came out and said, Victor Conti's a scumbag, because he is, because of what he's done. Now, Victor Conti on the Rogan show, he's out there, he's pointing fingers at other athletes, athletes he even trained with, or athletes he works with, and the teams and the gyms that they go to, accusing guys of being on drugs, as if somehow this makes this guy better, because he's pointing his finger at other guys that are out there trying to compete, trying to be competitive, trying to feed their families, or not. He's just creating speculation. Check out his Twitter stream, but don't freaking follow the guy, and see every tweet he has on there is almost an accusation. It's a backhanded comment. It's some sort of way to inject himself into your mind, into the consciousness, into the conversation, when really he's nothing but a cheat. He's nothing but a fool and a scam artist. He scammed people into trusting him so they could succeed. He preyed on people's goals and dreams and desires, and they said, this guy can help me win, and I can fulfill my lifelong goal of being a champion. They trust this guy. He gives them these drugs. They fail for these tests. They lose all their medals, and he ruins their life, and he moves on, and he keeps doing this. Now that he's working on the other side, he's a rat, basically. He flips sides. Now he's a rat. He's talking shit about other people in the industry that he profited from. He's pointing the finger at them. So now he's ruining other athletes' careers on the other side. This guy, he just ruins athletes' careers. That's all he does. It's ridiculous. It's embarrassing. And me as a coach, me as a very proud representative of mixed martial arts, a proud representative of sport, a very proud representative of health and wellness, on longevity and vitality, and sharing proper information with people, sharing the right information, sharing usable information with people, this guy and guys like him are out there doing the opposite. So these stories come out about the athletes being on TRT and, oh, he's a drug and he's a cheat. It's because of assholes like Victor Conti go out there and fan the flames and point the finger. It's freaking ridiculous. So you need to take the athletes for who they are. These are hardworking, disciplined, honest, decent individuals that bust their ass in the day. You don't know what an athlete, what an MMA athlete goes through, the sacrifice and the pain. Do you know how hard it is to make a living getting punched in the face? Do you know how hard it is, the trials and the tribulations, the ups and the downs, what the families have to go through to see dad get his face ripped open, his orbitals crushed, his ribs cracked, broken knees, and that's how he pays the mortgage? Do you know how hard that is? These guys bust their ass. So for these guys that are on TRT, that are getting kicked in the balls about it, shame on you. Shame on you because you're not educated. You don't understand what's actually happening. Now, should everybody be on TRT? Hell no. I believe there should be extreme oversight into the TRT programs. I think that as now, it's good, but it can be much better. I think that an athlete in a TRT program should have to submit a blood test every 4 weeks, no matter what. If you're in a TRT program, you are in a TRT program for 12 months out of the year. You should have to submit your blood test every 4 weeks, and you should have to be within levels every 4 weeks. If you exceed the normal level of testosterone, you should immediately receive a four-month, we'll call it a suspension, but not in a bad way, saying, hey, you accidentally went over because we're assuming you're trying to do everything that's correct, but for the safety of your opponent, for the sanctity of the event, we're not going to allow you to compete. We're going to give you a four-month window to get your levels back to normal because we understand it's a medical issue. And athlete, we don't want you to compete in a medically unsafe condition, not for yourself and not for your competitor. So every 4 weeks, you submit your blood test, and let's say your testosterone level can't exceed 800. Well, it comes in at 799 every single time, and you're clear to fight. It's no problem. It comes in at 801. You get the four-month suspension. You get your blood test back in order, and then you can schedule your fight. And you can compete again. I think that's very simple. I think the guys that are in that program, it's pretty obvious to see who's trying to cheat and who's not with a little more oversight, deeper oversight, and let the athlete pay for it. Let the commission pay for it. Who knows? I mean, it's not that big of a deal. These blood tests are only, you know, $150, $200. They're not that expensive to get done. And a lot of these guys, you know, the UFC guys, they're making a good paycheck. A couple hundred dollars a month is not a big deal to keep you healthy. I know a lot of people that pay a couple hundred dollars a month for their medicine, and that's fine, and they make a lot less than a lot of the UFC or the professional athletes. So I don't think it's a bad thing if it's truly governed, if it's truly overseen. And I know I went off on that rant about that other guy, but I have to put it out there because there's guys like him that make guys like us look bad. We want our athletes to be healthy. I want my athletes to live long and feel great and be on this planet for as long as they can with their families. That's what I want. And if they can be a great champion athlete during this small window of MMA, of sport, well, great. If they can put on some great fights and have some fun in an open, consensual sport where both athletes sign on the line and get punched and kicked and twisted and torn and broken for our viewing pleasure, because that's what these guys sign up to do. So it's not like, oh, you're on TRT and you punch me in the face too hard, so how dare you? It's not unfair. That's bullshit. These are trained killers. These guys are the best in the absolute world, and they're not going to do anything different on the TRT program than if they were normal before the TRT program. Now, if they're negative, now these guys are at a serious disadvantage. They are going to get hurt. They're not able to train. Their immune system's going to shut down. Their central nervous system's going to shut down. Their body is going to shut down. They're going to break down. They're going to tear. They're going to break. That's what happens because their body cannot produce this essential, necessary hormone, just like insulin. Remember, it's the insulin and it's the TRT. Now you want to talk about growth hormone. That's something I don't get involved in too much. That's a little bit different. I haven't seen the compelling evidence to say that it is essential. So I'm not saying that you should be allowed to be on the HRT, the hormone, the growth hormone, but there's more. That's an evolving science right now. That's an evolving concept. So I don't have an official opinion on that yet. And right now, the TRT, that's the one, that's the hot button. And the guy earlier today, speaking of hot button, he got me hot. Now, from his profile and from what the producer of the show said, this guy is a doctor. Now, that's what blew my mind. He's a doctor. Now, he might just be saying he's a doctor because it's his online handle, Dr. Love, I don't know. But he's putting himself forward as being a doctor. And he had this very incorrect understanding of what the TRT program is and what the medical application is and what the medical need is and what the performance results are. He said six times the legal level or six times the normal level. That's absolutely ridiculous. It's less than the normal level because you cannot exceed normal when you're in the TRT program. Think about that. It is less than 100% of normal. These guys are competing at less than 100% of normal. They're far better than they would be without the TRT because without the TRT, they are deficient, just like diabetics without their insulin syringe. They are deficient and they are at risk. I think it's a big issue, and I think I haven't heard it. Nobody I've heard describe it like this before. Nobody has made this sort of correlation between the type of hormone that it is and the other performance enhancers that are legal and that are out there. And now, performance enhancers, I'll get off the TRT a little bit. Now let's talk about weed, right? So I know a lot of guys, and now weed is illegal and it's a performance enhancing drug, and everybody knows, the MMA people know about Nick Diaz getting busted and getting suspended after he fought Condit. He failed the test and he was suspended for a year. Because I don't know if it was THC or marijuana or cannabinoids, some sort of derivative was found in his blood test, and he was suspended. He had to give up, you know, tens of thousands of dollars, as I understand it, for the suspension. Now, what the hell is so wrong? You know, what's so wrong about marijuana? As long as the guy's not competing under the influence, if he needs, and now if he's in a jurisdiction here in the United States, medical marijuana is approved, it is legal. Do we know how many states it's in right now?
I know Nick Diaz had his card.
Nick Diaz, it is a card-carrying legal member in the state of California. He gets it through a doctor. It is a legal medicine for him, just like it is for thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people around the world. Now, the United States is one of the countries that is a little slower to jump on to the medical marijuana issue, and I think it's 17 states. I could be wrong, but I know Colorado and Washington have made it legal, bar none, and they've had outdoor celebrations that have celebrated the fact that it is illegal now. There's dispensaries all over these states. So if you are in a legal state, and if it is legal for you to use medical marijuana as a prescription drug, why should it be a performance-enhancing drug banned by athletic commissions when other drugs, dangerous addictive chemicals such as Ambien are legal, such as Xanax are legal? Now I ask you, what is so different between a Xanax high, if you're talking about the high issue, or a marijuana high? It's a, Xanax is a sedative. It's a mood, you know, it's a mood altering agent. It calms you down. A lot of people take Xanax when they're going to go on a flight. So it calms them down. They don't have the anxiety. It's all cool. It's nice and laid back. Weed is very similar. So if athletes are taking weed, so they don't have the nerves when they fight. But Xanax is legal. Why is that? Guys that can't fall asleep, they can take a Xanax. They can take an Ambien. These are highly addictive, very dangerous chemicals. Man-made, altered chemicals. Dangerous. A huge side effect list. Known side effects on these lists of these drugs. But it's legal. Why is it legal? There's a hypocrisy. I want athletes to be healthy. I've seen too many addictions, too many pill addictions, too many drug addictions from these pharmaceuticals. Now, you take something like marijuana, which is an all-natural herb. Now, there's a lot of argument about marijuana. A lot of the old school things, they just picture the pothead sitting on his couch, smoking a bong, not going to work, living in his grandma's basement. Well, yeah, that happens. There are those guys. But with or without weed, they're still doing that. They're still doing that. In this day and age, there are chemicals within that herb that allow marijuana to be legal. It was found to be highly effective for a multitude of medical disorders, conditions, diseases, and issues without the side effects, with literally zero to no side effects. I don't know of any compelling side effects. Other than the obvious, you know, do not operate heavy machinery, you know, under, you know, the influence of this drug. Things like that, of course, in the moment. Do not drive, of course, do not do those things. But if an athlete smokes a little bit of marijuana or takes a marijuana pill or whatever delivery device the doctor believes is the best way for the athlete to use it, whatever delivery device the doctor prescribes, why cannot the athlete do that when they can pop pills? They can take Celebrex, which is a very powerful anti-inflammatory. It's very, very, very powerful anti-inflammatory. It can make mild injuries go away in a day. It can make serious injuries go away in a handful of days. It can dramatically reduce swelling on an area. You're training your ass off, you roll over on your ankle, boom. Now what? You take some Celebrex, it goes away. I'm not a fan of Celebrex because I think it has addictive issues. It physically and mentally addictive issues. It's very harsh on the body. It's very hard for the body to process. Yes, it does its one job well, but it does a whole lot of other shit that I disagree with. I'm a natural guy. I'm a holistic guy. I take a different approach to this. I make sure we monitor our training system so we don't overtrain, so we avoid these injuries, these inflammation issues. We warm up very well. We take care of our body. We do prehab work so we avoid these issues. We do not rely on pills, powders, and potions to fix us, to correct us. Unless the case of a dramatic medical need, which we could talk about insulin, or we'll go back and we'll talk about the testosterone. There are some conditions that definitely require medical intervention, but that should be a last resort. Marijuana fits that mold if it's legal. Now, it has to be legal, and that's very important. I'm not advocating marijuana. Everybody run out and just start smoking weed and say, hey, it's okay, Dolce said so. That's not it. If you and your doctor believe that you have an issue, a medical condition that can be treated by marijuana, which I believe to be the least damaging, the most helpful of any of the other options out there, mostly the pills, the prescription pills. We all know prescription pills are bad. College kids, how many kids do you know that are, what, you know, taking Ambiens and Xanax and uppers and downers and, you know, crushing up Oxycontins and, you know, these painkillers and these opiate derivatives just to go to class, just to study harder, or Provengil, you guys out there to study and the cram for your tests, all these addictive chemicals you're poisoning and polluting your body with. But, and I know you're weed head, you know, potheads too, but now marijuana is illegal, and guys that smoke it in athletic competition, they get banned and busted. It hurts their ability to earn. Guys like Nick Diaz, I mean, that's bullshit. It did not increase his advantage in that fight. If he was high in the cage, well, shit, he would have been at an extreme disadvantage. He uses it for legitimate medical issues, just like thousands of other athletes do, and tens of hundreds of thousands of people from around the world, cancer patients on down. So we're jumping in a lot here to the PED. This is PED day. The guy in the morning, the doctor this morning, he really irritated me. Lance is in the news right now. We all know the Lance Armstrong story, you know, Mr. Livestrong. And I said earlier, I'm not mad at Lance for using PEDs. I understand it. I understand it because he's competing in the sport that is based and founded on PED use. Now, guys like Lance, the problem I have with Lance Armstrong is not his injections. It's his assertions. It's the fact that he pointed his finger in our chest and said that he's clean. Now, what he should have done is said no comment. He should have taken the high road and not said anything either way, or he should have come out and said very honestly, this is exactly what I'm doing, which is what the TRT guys do. That's what they do. They come out and they admit it because it's legal. It's public information. They come out and they make it obvious, they make it clear. Lance didn't. Lance went the other way and said, hey, look how amazing I am. I am Superman. I am normal. And I take no drugs. And I was able to beat all these other guys in the world, you know, seven times. I'm a fan of his athletic achievements. I'm a fan of Lance Armstrong's work ethic. Nobody, I believe, in cycling worked harder than Lance Armstrong. No athlete on the planet for those years he was winning the Tour de France. No athlete on the planet, I believe, was working harder than Lance Armstrong. Was more dedicated than Lance Armstrong, sacrificed more than Lance Armstrong. Lance's problem was a problem of character. The way that he went about handling his situation, that's where he went wrong, and that's why he got stripped of the titles. It sucks that he got stripped of the titles, but it's a character issue, and that's why. And he should have. Unfortunately, he should have, because he lied and he did cheat. You know, he did, and he made such a big deal about it. Now, he was cheating with other cheaters, though. You know, that's you have to consider that, and you know, it goes without saying. And what he was doing, he was talking about, you know, on Oprah, he admitted to blood doping.
EPO, blood doping, testosterone.
EPO, blood doping, testosterone, growth hormone.
Just admitted, yes, I did those.
So he admitted that on Oprah. He didn't get too deep into it. I'm sure that information will start to come out. Now, what is EPO? EPO is an external chemical. It's a drug that you can actually take, which will increase your own production of red blood cell count. Now, what red blood cells do is they oxygenate your blood supply. They oxygenate your muscles. So they increase, they've been known to increase the VO2 max, which is the volume of oxygen that can pump through your veins. So when your VO2 max comes up, you can perform more work at a higher rate for longer periods of time. Essentially, very, very generally here. So EPO allows these athletes to push a harder pace longer, especially in a state of deprived oxygen. A lot of these Tour de France, what do they call them? Stages, mm-hmm. are above 5,000 feet, above sea level. Some of these stages are above 10,000 feet. Do you know how thin oxygen is up there? oxygen at 5,000 feet is, I mean, it's very thin. You go up to 10,000, it's almost non-existent. Now, these guys are going up the hill, and who knows, I heard like 45 miles an hour. They're cranking, they're grinding, they're nonstop pushing and going. So EPO will definitely be a performance enhancer in that sport. Should it be legal or not? I don't know. It's not my sport. I don't know that much about it, but I know most of the guys in it are doing it. A large number of guys are doing it. And I don't say like that dickhead Victor Conti. I'm not saying those guys are doing it. I'm saying because all those champions, a lot of those guys have been busted for it. They have been busted. And those are the guys that I'm talking about. Guys like Floyd Landis, guys like Lance Armstrong. I mean, Lance won that 7 years, you know, 7 out of 10 years. So that's 70% of the time the champion of the Tour de France was on PEDs. I mean, he's the greatest cyclist in the world, so we could say that it's very, very, very dominant in that sport. Now, guys like Conti pointing his fingers and saying, well, I think, oh, you know, this percentage of athletes are on drugs, or that percentage of athletes are on drugs, or that team of guys are most likely on drugs. I mean, Jesus, look how much weight he gained in the last X amount of months. Well, that's all freaking self-grandizing hearsay, and that's ego-boosting, and that's just absolutely ridiculous. It's non-factual. It's this dude injecting himself into the scene when he shouldn't. It's a cheater trying to cheat the public into getting more headlines, getting more press. I'm giving this guy a little bit too much time now, but I know his name's out there, and it's my first opportunity to really kind of say what I truly think. You know, he's a blemish on all sports, a blemish on coaches. It irritates me as a coach. Because then I got this guy trying to be in the same category as myself. That really, really bothers me. Anyway, moving on. Sports. What's going on in sports, Bob?
What's going on in sports? Just looking at the St. Pierre and Nick Diaz press conference today.
How'd that go?
Looking pretty tough. If I got a call, I think Nick Diaz is going to take it.
How's Nick going to win? Got it.
Let's say submission. Even though I don't think St. Pierre has ever been submitted, so I'm going out on a limb here. But I think Diaz is going to do it.
Diaz, that's actually a bold prediction.
He's looking pretty big.
Diaz?
Diaz is a big guy. I'll show you a picture here.
Diaz is a big dude.
Yeah, I mean, makes St. Pierre look like a...
St. Pierre's not a big guy.
Looks like a 55er compared to him.
Yeah. They do the stand-up. So as you guys know, March 16th at the Bell Center in Montreal, Canada, George St. Pierre will take on Nick Diaz in a grudge match, the grudge match of the century. And yeah, Diaz is a lot bigger. Diaz looks like a middleweight.
Huge.
GSP looks like a lightweight. Grudge match. So that's the main event for GSP's UFC welterweight world title. The co-main event is Johnny Hendricks, my guy, Johnny Big Rig Hendricks, versus Jake Ellenberger. My good friend, Jake the Juggernaut Ellenberger. Johnny Hendricks earned the number one status as number one contender in the welterweight division through his knockouts of former number one contender, John Fitch. Martin Kampmann, world-renowned, international UFC veteran, knockout artist, Dutch-styled striker. And Josh Koscheck, former number one world title contender. Both those guys fought GSP for the world title. Johnny Hendricks went out there, beat all three of them in a row. And then what happens? GSP says, hey, you know what? I don't think Hendricks deserves the shot. I'm going to fight Nick Diaz. Who what? Well, Nick Diaz lost his last fight versus Carlos Condit and was suspended for marijuana. Something I disagree with. But needless to say, he's coming off a drug suspension and a loss. And GSP says, I should fight Nick Diaz for the title, not Johnny Hendricks. Because Nick deserves it more than the guy that beat my last two opponents. Or so. Now think of, does that make sense? Really, what that translates, now GSP, he speaks French, so I think the English translation is that. I do not want to fight Johnny Hendricks because he's a better wrestler than me, and because he can knock me out. Johnny Hendricks hits very hard, and I'm scared. So I would like to fight Nick Diaz instead and turn this into a grappling match. That's what I hear GSP saying. I'm a big GSP fan, but not at this time. I think it's bullshit the way he publicly ducked Johnny Hendricks. And he disrespected Johnny by not saying Johnny deserves to be the number one contender. GSP should have said, and I would have been all for it and I would have agreed with him. He said, listen, Johnny's the number one contender. But Nick Diaz has been talking a lot of shit about me and I just want to kick this guy's ass. I would have said, you know, right on, dude. You're the freaking champ. You deserve to kick someone's ass every once in a while that's outside of the rankings. Go have fun. We at Team Hendricks will take one more shot
and then we'll step up. We'll fight you next time. That would be the man way to do it. That would be the true. That would be the professional. That would have been the classy way to do it. So either GSP came up with this or his PR team came up with this. I can't believe he truly believes Johnny's not the true number one contender. I can't believe that. I don't believe that. I do know that he wants to kick Nick's ass, and Nick wants to beat the piss out of GSP too. And it's a great fight. It's a great fight that I will absolutely buy, and I will watch on pay-per-view, and I will support. Just don't say that Johnny Hendricks isn't the number one contender, because he is. Nick lost his last fight. Johnny won his last four or five. He beat Pierce also. Mike Pierce in the mix. Pierce is a top 10 guy. Pierce is one of the toughest guys in the world. Pierce lost a split decision to Josh Koscheck. Again, who fought GSP a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, for the world title. Pierce is right at that level. Johnny beat him also. Johnny's the number one guy, and GSP was dodging that, avoiding that, and he should change the rhetoric. He should change that talk. But I get it. I understand it. Now we'll just have to wait till the next time. What else we got? Oh, we got Rampage. What about Rampage? You want to talk about Rampage? My good buddy Rampage. What's up, Quentin? So, Rampage recently, in an ESPN article, ESPN interview, came out and he said, do we have the interview? Somebody pull it up. Came out and made a statement, basically about now that he's, I don't know what he's doing in his training camp, but he said something to the effect of regarding his body weight, that Mike, he used to work with Mike Dolce, but he got tired of Mike Dolce.
He says, I'm with Soulmate Food now, and they are planning on my nutrition really well. I was with Mike Dolce for a while, but I got tired of him experimenting on me. I used to have cut a lot of weight with that guy. He would give me a lot of bread and Nutella sandwiches. At the time, I was loving it, but then I had to pay for it when I had to cut all that weight.
So that's what Rampage says in an ESPN article 2 years after I quit working for his team, after I walked away from his team, 2 years after I left employment under Team Rampage, Rampage MMA, Inc. He comes out and makes this statement, linking my name to his with his poor weight-cutting issues. Well, I was dumbfounded when I read this. I found this out when I landed. And we're actually going to put that story up on our website, on thedolcediet.com. We're going to put a link to that ESPN article. We're also going to put a link to my response, my reply. Actually, you can jump on my Facebook page right now. Check out the Facebook page, The Dolce Diet, and my reply. It says, hey, Rampage, you know, remember this? Or Dolce responds to Rampage. You'll see it on there. There's actually two posts of me where I respond directly to Quentin. I have no problem with Quentin. I never had a problem with Quentin. I love Quentin. I love Quentin. I treated him like a brother. I loved him like a brother. I worked my ass off for him. I went over and above, beyond the call of duty for Quentin. Now, let me give you a little background. Quentin hired me in 2008, immediately after his loss to Forrest Griffin. When he lost the world title, he hired me to take over his weight management. And what happened? The first fight with me, we knocked out Wanderlei Silva in the first round. The second fight with me, we took a short notice fight against Keith Jardine, and we won that fight via unanimous decision. The third fight, Rampage took 14 months off to film The Ultimate Fighter Season 10, of which I was an assistant coach. And then he filmed the A-Team movie, leading to a 14-month layoff. He was set to fight Rashad Evans, UFC former light heavyweight world champion, one of the most athletic guys in the absolute division. He was scheduled to fight Rashad and came into training camp at 251 pounds 7 weeks and 6 days before that fight. Less than 8 weeks before he fought Rashad, he was 45 pounds over the contracted weight of 206 pounds. And what happened? On the Dolce Diet, working with Mike Dolce, Rampage lost those 45 pounds in less than 8 weeks. He weighed in at the championship weight of 205 pounds, and he went on to lose a decision against Rashad Evans, but he won the third round, which was very telling. If this was a five-round championship fight, everybody in the media, in the industry, felt Rampage would have won. He was a little rusty in the beginning. He was a little slow. He had been off for 14 months. It took him a little while to get going. In the third round, Rampage nearly dropped Rashad and nearly finished him when time expired. Rampage had more strength. He had more cardio. He had more energy. Rashad was exhausted. It was a tough fight. Mike Chiappetta from AOL wrote, the true winner in this fight was Mike Dolce for the amazing shape Rampage was in. That's paraphrasing. You can find that quote on my website, The Dolce Diet. Mike Chiappetta is one of the most respected journalists in the industry. So, moving on from the Rashad fight, we go and we take a fight against Lyoto Machida, the southpaw UFC former light heavyweight world champion. And what happens? We beat Lyoto Machida. Now, Quinton came into that training camp at 260 pounds. This was 11 weeks out. He was 260. We did a pre-camp. Myself, Coach Lance Gibson, came for an early pre-camp to get Quinton in shape. He started at 260. And what happened? Quinton made weight, the light heavyweight limit, and we won a very tough fight against Lyoto Machida, former world champion. Next fight was against Matt Hamill. Matt the Hammer Hamill. Very tough, very... He was an Olympic, Special Olympic champion. Matt Hamill was one of the greatest wrestlers in MMA for some time. And he was very successful. Who did he beat? Did he beat Tito? No, he did beat Tito.
Matt Hamill
beat Tito Ortiz. Matt Hamill has some big wins on his record. And he goes in and he fights Rampage. Rampage makes weight. He beats Matt Hamill in an uninspired, unanimous decision. Now, I was part of Rampage's camp, but this is when I was segueing out of Rampage's camp. I started the camp with Rampage, but I transitioned away to a consulting position towards the end of that camp just because of professional issues. It was time, I felt, for me to move on with my professional career with much love to Quinton at that time. Much love, much support, and it was on very good terms, and Quinton understood. I had other business opportunities pulling me other directions, and unfortunately, the nature of the training camps, the nature of the lifestyle, the nature of the surroundings of Team Rampage made it time for me to go. I just didn't feel like I fit in anymore. You look at the quality of the work that we did, four amazing victories. He was always on weight. His one loss was still a victory for his training program. After I left Rampage, he went on to lose to John Jones. Then he went on to lose to Ryan Bader, which is no disrespect to anybody because Jones and Bader are two of the greatest fighters in the UFC. There's never a disrespect. There's no shame in losing to amazing athletes like that. I only bring this up because it's factual. When he fought and lost to Ryan Bader, Rampage missed weight by 6 pounds. For the first time in his career, he had missed weight without me as part of his camp. Now, 2 years later, he goes on in ESPN and makes an interview, makes a statement about having weight issues because of Mike Dolce experimenting. Well, that's absolutely ridiculous, and it's unfortunate, and it's sad because I do great work. And it's funny because I read this article Monday morning after landing back in the United States from my amazing trip to Brazil with Vitor Belfort and Nick Lentz, who both shocked the world with their career-defining performances and their public statements that this was the easiest weight cut of their careers, respectively. Both guys have publicly said that during fight week, before and after the fight. The easiest weight cuts of their career. Vitor cut 4 pounds on fight day. Nick Lentz cut 5 pounds on fight day. They had career-defining performances. Nick fought the number 7 guy in the world for 3 rounds, non-stop pace. He defined what mixed martial arts is with his pace, his intensity, his ability to mix up techniques. Vitor knocked out Michael Bisping, the number 1 challenger for Anderson Silva's title, said Dana White. If Bisping beat Vitor, Vitor would have had the next title shot. This was a contender fight. Vitor knocked out Bisping, who in my opinion is one of the toughest athletes in the entire UFC. Bisping will be a legend in the sport because of the quality of work that he has put in. His body of work is impeccable. Look at his resume, look at his record, and Vitor knocked out Bisping in the second round of their fight. Their 5-round fight, Vitor knocked him out in the second round and said it was the best shape, the best he felt in his entire life. And I land Monday morning and I see this quote from Rampage. What the hell, man? Now, to go one step further, and I'm hurt. You guys can tell I'm hurt. I love the guy. I consider him a close friend. I consider him like a brother. And I'm sure maybe it's sibling rivalry here. I don't know. Maybe I don't know why he would say such a thing. But if you want to, jump on my Facebook page. Jump on the Dolce Diet YouTube account. YouTube/Dolce Diet. There's a video called Rampage Cuts 45 Pounds, I believe. Look at the video. It's actually what happened in 2010. When Rampage was fighting Rashad, it was the morning of the weigh-ins where Quinton actually tells you how he feels. He's only 8 pounds over. When he was fighting in Pride, he used to have to cut 15 pounds. He only had to cut 8 pounds which is less than he ever had to, even though he started camp 46 pounds over. This is the best I ever felt. Rampage's doctor, Dr. Carlin Colker, who was also Shaquille O'Neal's doctor. Triple H from the world of pro wrestling, his doctor. Bradley Cooper's doctor. Dr. Colker is a very famous, internationally renowned doctor. Says on film, he can't believe how amazing Quentin looked. The proof is in the diet. It's the diet that Rampage looked so amazing in spite of the obstacles he had stacked against himself. Rampage's boxing coach, the Wolf Slayer boxing coach, Mark Kenny, who is a lifelong boxing coach. Kenny, I think, is in his 50s. I mean, he's in great shape. He's in his 50s, could even be 60s, but let's say 50s. Coach Kenny's been coaching his entire life. Chet Congo, Michael Bisping, Rampage, slew of UK national team boxers. He's been in the game his whole life. He said this is the best weight cut he had ever seen. His mind was blown. He wishes I could work with every one of his athletes. That's what the video says, and that's what comes out of Rampage's mouth in 2010. Why he says this differently in 2013, I have no idea, but I'm going to use the Mike Dolce show. This is the bully pulpit. I'm going to use my opportunity to tell the truth. This is what happened, dude. Why are you saying, why are you talking shit? Why are you saying bad things, you know? I do great work, and I would do great work for him again. I just want to see him achieve and see him win and succeed so he can take care of himself and take care of his family. Man, I cheer, I buy every pay-per-view Quentin fights on. I cheer for him, I root for him, I pull for him. I want to see him do extremely well. I want to see him ride off into the sunset with a whole stack of money as one of the greatest fighters ever to have lived. I want to see him retire with a gold belt around his waist. I don't understand why he would say such a thing. So, it's hurtful. And if I do speak with Quentin, and hopefully I will, and as soon as I do see him, I'm going to walk right up to him and talk to him and give him a hug. Because I'm sure all this shit's going to float away. And say, dude, what were you talking about? And maybe he was joking. Let's say he was joking and the reporter took it out of context. Well, I will give him the benefit of that doubt. I definitely will. I can't imagine it being vindictive. I can't imagine he said that intentionally. Because we both know the truth. We both know those training camps. We both know what happened on a daily basis. We both know the work that we did to get him in amazing shape. So, there we go. Quentin Jackson. He fights this weekend, UFC on Fox. That's going to be live Saturday, January 26th. Make sure you tune in. He's fighting Glover Teixeira. Glover is super tough. We got Demetrius Johnson, Mighty Mouse, fighting John Dodson for the 125-pound world title. Man, watch these guys fight. They freaking scrap.
Cerrone and Pettis.
Cerrone and Pettis, which is going to be a freaking battle, you know. It's funny because both guys, a lot of people either love Cerrone and love Pettis, or they hate him. These guys are very polarizing. You know, take it or leave it, this is who they are. But these motherfuckers, they throw down. These guys scrap. They fucking fight. You might not want to hang out with them afterward. You might not want to go to their after party. But you definitely want to pay to watch these dudes fight. They freaking scrap. So I'm excited about that fight. Who else is on the card?
What do we got? Bader and the Janitor.
There we go.
Ryan Matyshenko.
Ryan Bader, who I spoke about before, who owns a win over Quentin Rampage Jackson. That's when Rampage missed weight. Bader's fighting Vladimir Matyshenko, the Janitor. Vladdy's been in the world of MMA for a long time. I fought alongside him in the IFL years ago. Any other notables on the undercard?
TJ Grant and Matt Wyman.
TJ Grant and Matt Wyman, that's good. Grant's a former welterweight, and he's jumping on down. I think he's having a pretty good career rebirth down there. Sean Jordan, who's another tough guy. You
Clay,
know,
Clay Guida's also on there.
Oh, shit. Clay Guida's fighting Hioki.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe Nick Lentz gets the winner of that fight. I know we'd love it.
Guida's at 45 now.
Guida dropped to 45 to fight Hioki. Wow. And you know, I know Nick Lentz, he wants a top guy. So what do you think about that?
That'd be a good fight. That'd be definitely high energy, action packed fight.
Lentz versus Guida, I love it. I love it.
It'd be like one of those fights where there's a big dust cloud and then all of a sudden there's a guy victorious on top.
That's right. Wouldn't you love to be Joe Silva?
He's got the best job in the world.
Joe Silva, I think my job is pretty good. I think my job is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think Joe Silva, though, he's probably got the best job in the world.
What do you think? Want to do some fight picks here?
Fight picks. Who we got?
What do you got? Demetrius Johnson or John Dodson?
Demetrius Johnson, just because I've been around him more than enough times now to see how dedicated he is. I see how good he is, you know, how great of an athlete he is. But I see him all fight week. When he fights, I've been on, I think, 3 cards with him now. I see him all week long. I see how dedicated he is, and he's a good guy, man. He's a family man. So I'm betting on Demetrius.
Let's do Donald Cerrone and Anthony Showtime Pettis.
I'm going with Cerrone just because of Cerrone's pedigree. And Pettis, man, he's been off for a long time. He's got some ring rust. Cerrone stays active. Yeah, you can't bet against Cerrone, man. He buzzes through guys. And he trains with my boy Leonard Garcia. He trains down at Greg Jackson's gym, one of the top gyms in the world. Now, Pettis, he trains with
Rufus.
He trains at Rufus Milwaukee. Sport. Duke Rufus, man, one of the top striking coaches, MMA coaches in the world. They train with Alan Belcher goes up there. Belcher's, you know, he's one of my friends. He's a great guy. Who they got Ben Askren up there, who's a tremendous wrestler, who's becoming a better MMA fighter. I like to see him open up his game a little bit more. I'm a fan of Ben Askren. You know, I just like to see him open up his game just a little bit more. He could use his wrestling and allow striking to go just a little bit more. I think he's talented enough to do that. Be a little more exciting. Make a little more money too, Ben. You know, get the people pulling for you.
Let's do Rampage and Glover Teixeira.
Rampage versus Glover Teixeira. You know, I'm not going to comment on that fight just because I'm mad right now. I'm irritated and I don't want to say things in vain. I've never bet against Rampage before and I'm not going to start now. So I'm not going to say anything.
All right. And then we'll bring it back to Clay Guida versus Hayoki.
Clay Guida, I'm going with Clay Guida just because he's a machine. I think Clay Guida at 145, this is his true weight class. I think he's going to be motivated, energized, especially coming off that poor performance against Gray Maynard. It was a highly active performance. It was just a poor performance. Nobody really wanted to see it, and it's not the way Clay normally fights. So I'd like to see Clay, if he fights the way he always does, I think he's going to buzzsaw right through Hayoki, and he's going to end up in a match against Nick Lentz. My man, soon to be UFC 145-pound world champion. That's right, people. You heard it here. Nick Lentz, top of the division. That's the main card. If you guys got your picks, put your picks on this is what I want. On our Facebook page, Facebook.com/TheDolce Diet, we will start a thread. Fight picks. I want main card fight picks for this UFC on FX. I want you to tell me who's going to win. I want you to tell me how they win. And I want you to tell me the time that they win. Now, the odds on somebody getting all of that together are nearly impossible, millions and billions. Whoever gets most of it, mostly right, is going to get a free Dolce Diet gold package. You're going to get the signature t-shirt. You're going to get a copy of Living Lean, international bestseller Living Lean. You're going to get a copy of international best-selling cookbook, the Living Lean Cookbook. You're also going to get a copy of 3 Weeks of Shredded, the phenom that actually started this whole thing. Sold in over 120 countries around the world. Owned by many of the UFC's most famous athletes, which is awesome. Because they come up to me at the fights and I don't even know and they're following my program, which is freaking sweet. Imagine how cool that is. How fulfilling that is. When Evan Dunham comes up to you, he's like, Dolce, thank you so much. I'm in amazing shape right now because of 3 Weeks to Shred It. And he'll tweet it sometimes. There's a whole bunch of other guys, but I want to, you know, put it out there. Evan's one of my boys, so I can talk about that. So pick your, give me your pick 'em on the Facebook page. Who's going to win? Just look at the main card. And it'll say, go to UFC.com, go to MMAJunkie.com, go to MMAWeekly.com. Those are all the sites that I frequent. Go to the Underground, MMA.TV. I'm on there all the time. Check me out on there. Got a couple threads going and talking to the guys. The Underground's always fun. If you're an MMA fan or not, if you're new to MMA, definitely check out the Underground. MMA.TV, surf the forum, see what's on there, have some fun. And there's a lot of information that pops up behind the scenes of the sport. Also, MMA Junkie, MMA Weekly, I apologize to anybody else. Sure Dog is another big site. Ariel Helwani's MMA Fighting is another big one. Anybody else, I'll think of it as I remember. Go from there. Now, jumping into, we haven't even done our Q&As yet. We are an hour into the show. Haven't done our Q&As yet. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Brandy Dolce.
All right, the first question is from Cameron Elliott. He wants to know if he can alter your recipes, Mike. He says he loves the Dolce pizza, but he wants to add some chicken to it. Is that okay?
Absolutely. So, Cameron, you're talking about the Dolce pizza, which is in the Living Lean Cookbook, one of our favorite recipes here at the Dolce home, which is an Italian home. We love our Italian-styled foods. Yes, you can alter it. Stick within the principles of the Dolce diet. You must use earth-grown nutrients. Chicken falls into the earth-grown nutrient category. Make sure it is non-GMO. Make sure it is organically raised. Make sure it is humanely raised. Try and get it wild caught. Try and catch it yourself in its natural environment. That's the way we want to go. That way it'll definitely be allowed. The farther we get from that, the farther we get from being optimal health. But yes, you can alter the Dolce recipes, and I implore you to. I want you to. I am a coach. I am a diet coach. Just like your striking coach will teach you how to throw a jab, a cross, a hook, and an uppercut. It's up to you to implement those combinations, those punches, those techniques in your own way, in your own style, with your own timing. My recipes are the same, but you must stick to the same principles, just like in striking. You must keep your hands up. You must throw your straight punches right down the middle. You must turn your hips. You must push off your feet. You must follow these principles. But you can force your application, or you can apply it in your own way, manner. The same thing with my recipes. Think about me as your coach. I'm not your boss. I'm your coach.
All right. Next question is from Stephen Ozzy Osborne. That's kind of funny.
What up, Ozzy?
Ozzy Osborne.
Ozzy Osborne. That's cool.
If you want to lose weight, is it true that you should work out before breakfast and on an empty stomach?
Well, it is not true and it is not false. Yes, you will lose weight if you work out in the morning on an empty stomach and you perform what I call steady state cardio, which is walking or jogging at a moderate pace, swimming or cycling at a moderate pace for 30 to 60 minutes is typically a good go. We don't want to work too hard. We want to keep our heart rate in the typical fat burning zone, or the publicly accepted fat burning zone, let's say between 120 and 140 beats per minute on average. Now, there's different formulas, most of which are flawed. We'll say roughly about 130 beats per minute for 30 to 60 minutes. Steady state cardio. Your body is using body fat at this point. You're glycogen depleted because you've been asleep. You have not been consuming glycogen, so your body does not have the sugar to convert to energy, and it will tap into your fat stores for this energy. That is one way you can lose weight, but that it might not be the best way. It's certainly not the only way. I'm more of an advocate of interval work, of high intensity work with short durations, because now you will burn body fat, but you will also build muscle and you will increase your function, your functional ability. Look at a sprinter. A sprinter is typically ripped. Sprinters are typically ripped. Look at their body. Look at a marathon runner. A marathon runner carries a low body fat percentage. They're typically not fat. I wouldn't call them ripped, but they don't carry a lot of body fat. They have low levels of body fat also. They also have low levels of muscle mass. Extended steady state cardio will reduce and catabolize your muscle mass for energy. That's why we want to keep it 30 to 60 minutes at most. I look at steady state cardio as active rest, as a recovery workout, as a way to get the heart moving, as a way to get the brain, the blood flowing. That's what I look at steady state as. And I will perform steady state 2 to 3 times a week. Unless I have an injury, I'll do it a little bit more if I can't get my higher intensity work in. But as a rule, higher intensity work, 2 to 3 times a week, that's the way to go. And if you can alternate steady state then high intensity, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, that would be the best way to go, in my opinion.
Our next question is from Daniel Vaughn. He says, hey, coach, I'm still recovering from hernia surgery, but I'm wondering the best exercises to strengthen the lower abdominal wall below the waist. And by the way, he lost 60 pounds last year using your system. He said he especially loves the breakfast and he can't wait to begin gaining it back in muscle once I'm recovered.
This is Daniel?
Yeah, Daniel.
Daniel, congratulations. You lost 60 pounds on the Dolce diet. 60 freaking pounds. You hear that, everybody? 60. It can be done. You need to lose 6 pounds or 16 pounds or 26 pounds. What's holding you back? Most people listening to this right now do not need to lose 60 pounds. Physically cannot lose 60 pounds. Daniel lost 60 pounds and he has a hernia. Did he get the hernia before, after, or during his 60-pound weight loss? I'm not sure, but he has one now and he's 60 pounds down and he wants to rebuild himself. So the first thing I have to say, Daniel, are you working with a doctor? Are you diagnosed? Do you have a treatment program? Are you working with a physical therapist? That is very important. You must do your rehab work outside of the gym. You must be working with a qualified, experienced therapist, being overseen by your doctor. It is very important because a hernia can affect you for the rest of your life. Hernia is not fun. What a hernia is, it is a tear in your abdominal wall. You cannot move with that. You cannot breathe with that. You cannot contract with that. It is a tear in the muscle. That's what a hernia is. That must be repaired. Typically, they're sewn together. I have a few friends. It's been done. I almost had a hernia at one point, and I did not. And that was because somebody locked the triangle choke up on me, and I, rampage style, picked them up over my head in a poor position. Easily got them up. They let go. We continued on, and I felt just a little pain in my lower abdomen. Well, it turns out I was borderline hernia. I had to take almost 3 months away for any heavy lifting to rehab it on my own. Micro tears, wasn't major tears, but if I went a little harder one more time, it would have torn. Hernia can affect you for your entire career, your entire life. So you have to work with a therapist. Now, after a therapist, then we can start working on very strategic core movements. Now, there's multiple core movements. In my book, Living Lean, I have multiple core workouts and exercises, descriptions for you to do. I would suggest that. You can get it on Kindle or iTunes for $9.99. It's an immediate download. It's got all the photos in there. You can certainly buy the paperback copy. That's in there. So, you know, in order to tell you what can you do specifically, there's a lot of things that you can do. It's not just one thing. I can't say just do crunches because that's far from it. You should be doing multiple exercises with multiple implements multiple times a week, but it should be under supervision. What else do we got?
All right, we have Ian McLeish. He wants to know if Nutella is Dolce diet approved, and he think he saw somewhere that Vitor eats it.
What's up, Ian? So here's the question. Is Nutella Dolce diet approved? Yes, it is under very specific circumstances. Nutella is improved or is approved if it is an improvement upon what you are currently doing. If you're eating Snickers bars, if you're eating Reese's Pieces, I will request you transition off of that to Nutella sandwiches on Ezekiel bread. Because that way we're satisfying that crave. It's an easier transition. Now, I've been coaching my whole life. My whole career, my whole business is about coaching people and helping people achieve their goals. I know how to transition people. I cannot force you to fit into my lifestyle. What I try and do is add improvements to your own lifestyle, and we slowly build you and bring you to where you must be. So yes, initially you can use Nutella-type products. Eventually, and I say Nutella because Nutella is the brand name. It is the Q-tip of the cotton swab industry. People know Nutella as being a chocolate spread. Now, Nutella is not my preferred one. I don't have Nutella in my home. I don't use Nutella. There is a company called Justin's. Justin's almond butter, Justin's hazelnut butter. I use Justin's hazelnut butter. There's another company called Maranathan, I believe. There's companies that are in your health food stores that have hazelnut spread mixed with cacao. That's typically what it is. It's cocoa beans mixed with hazelnuts, and that creates this chocolatey texture. That's really what we're after, and what it is, it's essential fats, and it is some sugar. I'm tricking you into being healthier, into ingesting essential fats in a manner that's not going to put you off, in a manner that you're going to crave. And yes, Vitor does eat Nutella-type products. Vitor ate them all the way up until his weigh-in. All of my athletes do. Because we want sugar, we need sugar, we run on sugar in very specific doses. Now, when we have it, it's a tablespoon at a time on half a piece of bread. Maybe it's 2 tablespoons on a whole piece of bread. And these recipes are in my cookbook. They are in Living Lean. I talk about them all the time. So is it approved? It is approved within or with certain constraints, with certain criteria. Now, it has to be an improvement. We must always be improving, and that's the whole point. We're always improving. Yeah, Maranatha is another company that we use. You know, Justin's is the one that we have right now, and Justin's is great because they sell theirs in these little single packets. I take a Ziploc bag, I fill it full of the Justin's single packets, the almond butter, the hazelnut butter, and that's where I travel with, that's where I fly with, that's how I work out of my hotel room, and for my athletes, that's what Nick Lenson and Vitor Belfort were eating. These. As they had the easiest weight cut and then career-defining performances. It wasn't Nutella. It wasn't the Nutella that you could find at Walmart. But you certainly can, and I'm not mad at you if you do. If it's an improvement. If you're getting off the other crap and candy and processed garbage.
All right, our next question is from Brad Smith. He wants to know about testosterone boosters and in what situation can they be useful.
Brad Smith, what's up, man? Well, the only testosterone booster I'm going to recommend is healthy living mixed with high-intensity resistance training on compound lifts such as squats and deadlifts. I am a huge deadlift fan, and I am a huge squatting fan. If you're squatting and deadlifting with high intensity, you are severely taxing your central nervous system. It sends a response throughout your body that your body must increase certain hormones. You can, and science has proven, that with high intensity resistance training throughout your entire body on the core movements, that you can increase your testosterone, and most people do see an increase in testosterone. Now, if you're talking about store-bought testosterone boosters, hell no. I do not endorse that. I do not recommend that. I have not found any yet that I would align myself with or that I believe in, that I would trust to take on my own. So I don't say they don't exist, because there are some herbs out there that have shown properties that can increase testosterone. I haven't seen any formulas modern day that will do that without a negative effect. You don't need testosterone boosters. Go to your doctor, have your blood work done, and maybe you'll be involved in the TRT program too.
Our next question is from Evan Franz. What is an alternative to using casein powder as a late night snack?
Evan, what's up? All right, so Casey and powder is often used by the bodybuilding world, or it's suggested and it's talked about mostly in the bodybuilding world, because casein protein is a slow digesting protein. Bodybuilders believe if they take this at night, it will slowly digest and they will have an even stream of protein, amino acids, entering their bloodstream throughout the night. And during the night is when our body repairs itself. So they want active amino acids available for a longer period of time. Before casein was found out, a lot of bodybuilders, strength athletes, they would set their alarm clock every 3 hours in the middle of the night. They would wake up, they'd drink a shake, they'd fall right back to sleep. Well, that's a problem because it would disrupt their REM. It would disrupt their deep sleep, and they would not produce growth hormone efficiently. They would not repair and recover efficiently. So it was this constant yo-yo. Is it worth it to wake myself up to have another meal, or should I sleep all the way through and get the full recovery ability and growth hormone release? Back and forth. And then casein protein came in. That's why casein became very popular. Unfortunately, I am not a fan of supplements. I am not a fan of powders. I do not believe in such things. I have found, and I believe I have proven on myself, on my athletes, and on the tens of thousands of people around the world that follow my procedures and my suggestions, that you do not need that. And in fact, you will perform better, you will feel better, you will be healthier if you stick to earth-grown nutrients. That's the way, that's what I believe, and that's what I practice, and that's what I'm going to talk about. Will you see results with casein protein? Absolutely you will. Will you also have possible negative results as a result of that? Yes, very possible you will, because the casein protein is highly processed. It is highly processed. It is preserved. There are other things along with the casein in these formulas. Had it been the casein just by itself in its natural form, this would be another conversation. But again, you got to show me a brand or a company that can actually produce it, because I haven't found it yet. So it's a highly processed powder. I'm going to stay away from it. I'm going to eat real food before I go to bed.
All right, Patrick Masella on Facebook asks, what are your thoughts on liquid egg substitutes?
It's disgusting. Liquid egg substitutes, don't do it. Get real eggs. Get whole eggs. Get farm fresh eggs. Get eggs out of your backyard. Get some chickens in your yard and lay in eggs. That's what you want. That's the eggs you want. Go steal some eggs from a field from, you know, chickens naturally grazing on the earth. That's what you want. You don't want those liquid egg beaters. And don't say, oh, I don't have enough time. It's just easier that way. Bullshit. Stop being lazy. It takes no more time. It takes no more time to eat healthy, to eat right. Let's do it. You want to have results. You want to be healthy. You want to get in shape as fast as possible, feel absolutely amazing. Well, eat whole foods, eat earth-grown nutrients. Get away from that crap.
Michael Adrian asked, does water consumed in other things like tea or coffee, et cetera, count towards the 2 gallons a day?
No. I always say that anything you drink outside of the purified water does not count. So any tea, any coffee, any other beverage, any fruit juice that you drink does not count. So I do not use that in my ratio. When I say I drink 2 gallons a day, that does not include all the tea I drink, all the juices I drink, all the coffee I drink, and I drink a lot of coffee. It doesn't include any of that stuff. 2 gallons is my personal minimum. So don't include that. And just see, you can do it. Just think about the capacity. I mean, start slow. Let your body build up. Your body will tell you what's natural, what's necessary, what you need. Are you peeing clear? Is your urine clear every stream after the first stream of the morning? It should be. If it's not, you're skewing towards dehydration. Are you training once or twice a day? Well, you're probably losing 1.5 to 6 pounds a training session, and that's almost a gallon, that's a half a gallon of water right there. So, I mean, water intake is, I mean, that's the most important aspect of any lifestyle change, any weight loss program, any performance program. It is drinking water and being adequately hydrated, and I always say super hydrated, because the environmental elements dehydrate us at a much faster rate than we believe.
Here we have Jake Switzer, who wants to know, can you give any more info about UFC Fit?
Last question here from Jake Switzer. What a way to end it. Can I give any more info about UFC Fit? What is UFC Fit? Everybody is asking, what is UFC Fit? Well, if you go to your newsstand and you open up the current issue of UFC 360 magazine, which is an amazing magazine. It is a lifestyle magazine. It's like you took Esquire magazine, Maxim, Muscle and Fitness, and you blend them all into one. That's what you have with UFC 360 magazine. It's amazing. Well, I'm blessed. I'm fortunate. They actually profiled me in UFC Fit magazine for the things that I've done in the sport of MMA. They detail a little bit about my story and watching my father have a stroke, which formed me or kind of pushed me more towards this longevity-based performance routine that I do. It gives a little background. It's kind of cool, kind of embarrassing. But anyway, and the UFC Fit comments, statements, questions keep coming in. UFC Fit is going to take over the world. It is going to change the world, and really, it's going to change your life. I created UFC Fit for the UFC. I created UFC Fit for you. I created UFC Fit because nothing else on the market is like it. I created UFC Fit because I am sick and tired of seeing you guys gain weight, get sick, feel bad, not have the energy that you need, that you want, that you deserve. That's why I created UFC Fit. It is an in-home training system. UFC Fit was designed, developed by me, Mike Dolce, creator of the Dolce Diet, coach of Vitor the Phenom Belfort, Chael the Bad Guy, Sonnen, Tiago, Pitbull Alves, Gray, Bully Maynard, Johnny Big Rig Hendricks, Jake Juggernaut, Ellenberger. The list goes on and on and on. I coach these world-class UFC athletes. I train them. I get them into the best shape of their absolute life, so they can enter the octagon in UFC competition against an elite world-class athlete. My athletes are known to be in the best shape of any athlete in the world. They are known when they weigh in, they are the healthiest of any athlete at the scale. When they compete, they put on career-defining performances. That's why the UFC came to me. That's why the UFC asked me to be a part of this program and develop UFC Fit with them, which was an honor. I am honored to be a part of this program. And with that, I have a huge responsibility to make sure this is the best program on the planet. And I made sure, we made sure UFC Fit is the most effective, most sensible, most reliable training system, in-home training system on the planet. And it's not just the workouts. It's not the 3 months. It's not the 12 weeks. It's not the 90 days. It's not the 12 discs. It's not those workouts that I created for you, that I perform with you, that I coach you through every second, every set, every rep. I am on camera and I'm telling you exactly what to do. And you know what? I'm training with you too, for real. So just like I have the passion right now I'm talking about, I'm talking to you on the camera and I'm telling you what to do and how to do it, and I'm showing you how to do it, and we're getting it done at the same time. And then tomorrow, I'm building you again. Every day you show up to UFC Fit, I build you. I build you over 12 weeks just like I build my athletes. That's why I created it, but I created it for you. I created it for regular people, for everyday people, for mothers, for fathers, for brothers, for sisters. I created it for professionals, for college kids, for potheads. I created it for everybody so you guys can get a fucking kick-ass workout, an amazing body, get in great shape, feel absolutely tremendous, be the healthiest you've ever been, blow your doctor's mind. That's why I created it. That's why I developed the UFC Fit Lifestyle and Nutrition Manual, to show you exactly the real way to eat. We don't give you a bullshit template diet program. We teach you exactly what to eat. I explain why you're eating like this, and I give great recipes for you to eat. There is nothing in UFC Fit that you don't need. It has everything you need. You need nothing else to get in the absolute best shape of your entire life. That is my passion, and that's what UFC Fit is. Now, when will UFC come out? 2013. How is it going to be sold? I don't know. I'm not that guy. What you guys need to do is you need to pick up UFC 360 magazine. You need to go to UFC.com. You need to follow the UFC on Facebook and follow their Twitter account, because that's up to the UFC. I built the program. They do the rest. They're going to take care of this thing. They're going to put it out there. They want you to be healthy. They want you to be fit. They want you to be strong. They want you to live the UFC Fit lifestyle. Notice, this isn't the NFL lifestyle. Look at NFL players. Who wants to look like that? It's not the MLB lifestyle. Look at baseball players. No offense, dudes. Who wants to look like that? This is a UFC Fit lifestyle because everybody wants to look like they are UFC Fit, be in UFC shape, but you don't have to be a fighter to train like one. You can use the same philosophy, the same principles that I use to train my athletes in a manner that is safe and appropriate for you, meant and designed to do in your own home, in a 6x6 area, in front of your sofa, move your coffee table, and boom, we're getting UFC Fit right there, and each workout is under an hour, less than 45 minutes a day to get the body you want, the body you deserve. I am so freaking excited about this. Can you tell how excited I am? Because the UFC has extended my reach, my ability to help people. I've had tremendous success with the Dolce Diet, with our books being sold internationally around the world, with you guys listening, with everything. I've had tremendous success with my athletes. I've been given a gift, the ability to help people change their life. And the UFC has given me another gift, They've given me that broader reach. They've extended my ability to help more people, and that's what the UFC wants. This is not a gimmick. It is not a fad. This is truly a lifestyle transformation program. We are going to change the world. Everything else on the market is going to be outdated once UFC Fit comes out. Nobody is doing this. There is no program better. I analyzed every single one. The UFC only does the best. They do the biggest. They do the grandest. They spare no expense. We know that. The UFC is not going to enter this market unless it is the best program ever devised, and it absolutely is. I can't wait. I cannot wait until it's in your hands, until it's available. It's going to take over. Everybody is going to be UFC Fit. That's my goal. All right, guys. On that note, I'm jacked up right now, which I always am. I'm going to get off. I think I'm going to write an article now. Remember, jump on the Facebook page and get in on this, what are we going to call it? The UFC on Fox Pick'em contest. Get in there. Let's see who you guys choose, because somebody's going to win the Dolce Diet Gold Package. And if you already have it, tell me. We're going to come up with something else. All right, guys. Great show today. Thank you so much for listening. We're watching the results. I see how well we're doing on Twitter, on Stitcher, all over the world. You guys are driving us to be the number one show, the number one health and fitness podcast in the world, the Mike Dolce Show. Thank you guys so much. Remember, don't count calories, make calories count. Boom!
The Mike Dolce Show.
Yes, you can.